The scripture speaks of four institutions established by God. The government, to keep us safe. The school, to teach us. The church, to nurture us, our souls. And the family, to produce children and to help us develop healthy relationships. Which of the four is most important? Your options are government, school, church, and family.
Family.
People agree with that? Yeah, I do too. I think that's right. Family has become a healthy family. Family because a healthy family secures the health of all the other institutions. This morning, Mother's Day, so we ought to honor and thank God for Mom. I remember Ruth Weisenbach. She died at the age of 92 in 2009. Who do you remember? Speak her name. I have asked five members of our church to read brief paragraphs about Mom. Some of them are humorous. Some respectful. Linda Carlson, you're going first. Stand up and read your, pardon me, not Linda Carden, pardon me. Got the, Linda Carden. You can stay there, just.
I wanted to give a cultural perspective because I honor my family's culture. So mine goes like this. You know when you are an Italian mom, when your children are going out for dinner and you reply, what? We have plenty of food here. I made them for you. The pizza, you know, I'm sorry, you know when you are an Italian mom, when the pizza man delivers a Hawaiian pizza to your house and your mom refuses to pay. Who ordered it then? That's not pizza. You know when you are an Italian mom, when the children are all expected to perform for company, an opera solo, a piano recital, and an accordion song. You know when you are an Italian mom, when the Saturday chores are given out to the children on slips of paper which they pick from the hat. Mom thinks it will be fun. When she hears children snickering, she reads the one they picked. Strip and make beds. You know when you are an Italian mom, when company arrives and mom panics, screaming, what are we going to feed them? Check it! What's in the cupboards? You know when you are an Italian mom, when you have to remind children not to jump on the living room sofa, which is always covered in plastic.
Yeah, right.
You know when you are an Italian mom, when the kids eat at the kids' table on Christmas, Easter, or any other important day. You know you are an Italian mom when your shoe becomes a weapon when the kids don't obey. You know when you're an Italian mom when your mom yells at you before she talks on the phone. Hey, Tony, shut up! You know when you are an Italian mom when Nona keeps a big Hershey's candy bar in her freezer, and the kids and mom ask her, who's that candy for? She tells them, for the kids. They never eat a bite. Oh, a Buona Festa, della mamma, which is Happy Mother's Day.
And Dave Carlson, what do you have?
to Linda. First of all, Mom, you're so cool. Mom, who cares if the internet's down? Mom,
pass the broccoli.
And lima beans. Mom, I've had enough time on my phone for today. Mom, it's our choice. Everything you have suggested sounds so great. Mom, bored? How could I be bored? Mom, I've already made my bed and brushed my teeth. Mom, it was my fault. I'm so sorry. That's okay, Mom. None of my friends are allowed to go either.
Thank you. Now I turn our attention to our text this morning from 1 Samuel, a familiar portion, I suspect, for most of you. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man from Rephaim, a Zuphite from the hill of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, the other Penaiah. Now, Penaiah had children. Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up to the town to worship the sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Penaiah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost at the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Almighty God, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she was kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied, "I am the mother who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I am pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant to you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. saying, "Because I asked the Lord of him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This chapter tells us the familiar story of Samuel's mother, Hannah. Childless for years, and then coming to the tabernacle, earnestly pleading to God. And finally, God answers Hannah's prayers, and she remembers her vow that she had made in verses 24 to 28. So Samuel lived with Eli, the priest, in the temple, but it was his mother's prayers, her vision, before he was born, and continuing during those early years and throughout his life. It was Hannah's perseverance in prayer and patient waiting before God and trust in God's promises and obedience to her commitments. It was the character of Hannah that gave us Samuel. This can be said of millions of mothers throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let me just mention one more recent. Susanna Wesley. How many children did she have? 19. John, Charles, and Samuel Wesley, founders of Methodism and composer of many hymns. The church is one foundation, 4,000 tongues to sing. Hark the herald angels sing. Christ the Lord is risen today. You know, we thank you for the Wesleys. Well, I thought Morrow Graham, mother of Billy Graham. Listen to what he wrote in his autobiography about his mother. "When my parents read the Bible in our home, they were not simply going through a pious ritual. Mother told us that they had established a family altar with daily Bible reading the very first day they were married. They accepted that book as the very word of God, seeking and getting heavenly help to keep the family together. Every time my mother prayed with one of us, they were declaring their dependence on God for the wisdom and strength and courage to stay in control of life, no matter what the circumstances might bring. Beyond that, they prayed for their children, that they might come to the kingdom of God. I'm so grateful that I'm able to say that my mother, when she was alive, prayed for me and all of her four sons. And I'm blessed to say that the mother of our three children prayed daily for Pam, David, and Kim, and their spouses, Gator, Sharon, and Brian, and 9 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. I can remember getting up in the morning and asking, "You ready to get up?" And she said, "Well, let me finish praying." Mother, Grandma, are you praying for your children? Dad, Grandfather, are you encouraging them, praying for them? It's the smartest thing you'll ever do. Well, Hannah prayed. God honored her and acted. Samuel was in the house of the Lord, serving with Eli the priest. Now I want to pause again and hear from 3 more of our church members. Bill Collins, would you stand and read your part?
This one says, "Mother earned her premiums. According to her height and weight on the insurance charts, she should be a guard for the Lakers. She has iron scarred blood, one shoulder is lower than the other, and she bites her fingernails. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. She should be. She's worked on this body and face for more than 60 years. The process for that kind of beauty can't be rushed. Wrinkles in the face have been earned, one at a time. The stubborn ones around the lips, that deepen with every no. The thin ones nose on the forehead that mysteriously appeared when the first child was born. The eyes are protected by glass now, but you can still see the perma crinkles around them. Young eyes are dark and pleading. These are mature eyes that reflect a lifetime. Eyes that have glistened with pride, filled with tears of sorrow, snapped in anger, and burned from loss of sleep. They are now direct and penetrating, and look at you when you speak. The bulges are classics. They develop slowly from babies too sleepy to walk, who have to be carried home from grandma's. Grocery bags locked from the car, ashes carried out of the basement while her husband was at war. The extra chin is custom grown and takes years to perfect. Sometimes you can only see it from the side, but it's there. Pampered women don't have an extra chin. They clean away or pat the muscles until they become firm. But this chin has always been there, supporting the nodding head that has slept in a chair all night, bent over knitting, praying. The legs are still shapely, but the step is slower. They ran too often for the bus, stood a little too long when she clerked in a department store, got beat up while teaching her daughter how to ride a two-wheeler. They're purple at the back of the knees. The hands, they're small and vain, and have been dunked, dipped, shook, padded, wrung, caught in doors, splintered, dyed, bitten, and blistered. But you can't help but be impressed when you see the ring finger that has shrunk from years of wearing the same wedding ring. It takes time and much more to diminish your finger. I looked at Mother long and hard the other day and said, "Mom, I've never seen you so beautiful." "I work at it," she said.
Dina, you have something?
I didn't get through this the first time I read it, but I did before. A special angel. Up in heaven, a child was ready to be born. The child asked God, "I know you are sending me to earth tomorrow, but how can I survive there? I'm so small and helpless." God replied, "I have chosen a special angel for you there. She will love you and take care of you. Here in heaven, Lord, I don't do anything but sing and smile. What will I do on earth? I won't know how to sing the songs down there." "Your angel will sing for you," God replied, "and she'll teach you how to sing too. And you'll learn to laugh as well as smile. Your angel and I will take care of that." "But how will I understand what people say to me? I don't know a single word of the language they speak." "Your angel will say the sweetest thing she will ever hear, and she will teach you, word by word, how to speak the language. And when I want to talk to you, your angel will gently place your little hands together and teach you how. That's the simplest language of all. It's called prayer. Who will protect me, dear God? Your angel is soft and gentle, but if something threatens you, there is no stronger force on earth than the power she'll use to defend you. I'll be sad not getting to see you anymore. I will always be next to you, even though you can't see me. And your angel will teach you the way to come back to me if you stray." And then it was time to go. Excited voices could be heard from earth, anticipating the child's arrival. In a hurry, the babe asked softly, "Oh God, if I must go now, please tell me my angel's name." And God replied, "You will call your angel Mama."
Tammy? What do you have?
Different. This is from Gigi Graham. "My first impression of Jesus was my mother. I could have sung this song, 'Jesus loves me, this I know, for my mother shows me so.' Mother never considered a sacrifice. sacrificed to stay home with children. We were all full of life and quite a handful. However, she never complained. I think at times it must have been difficult knowing that her husband was traveling the world, meeting interesting people, seeing exciting places, and doing what many considered a great work for the Lord. But she must have felt now and then confined to the mountains of North Carolina with five small children and all that that entailed. I never realized how hard this must have been until I had my own son. Mother has often been asked how she raised us with Daddy away. Her immediate reply always has been, on my knees.
Yeah.
Help me out. That's from Gigi, the oldest of the five.
Chuck Swindoll was the former pastor of a church in Fullerton, California. He's now in Dallas, Texas. If he's still living. Is he still living? You don't know. He shared a Christmas fantasy with the congregation. His story is a good introduction to our theme. As a kid in junior high, Chuck began to entertain fantasies of becoming a professional basketball player. But his basketball got punctured, and he needed a new one. So weeks before Christmas, he began dropping hints and making sure all the chores were done way ahead of time. And on Christmas morning, it happened. Chuck writes, "What to my wondering eye should appear but a box, a brightly wrapped, correctly shaped box. With guess whose name was on it. It was exactly right. Young Charles R. Swindoll. While no one was looking, I had shaken that box enough to know that it had to contain what I had been wanting so badly. Right size, right weight, everything. Then my turn came and I lunged at it like a hungry bear grabbing a salmon. I tore up the wrappings and the ribbons and pulled open the top, and to my disbelieving eyes, there it was, a world globe. Looking up at me was Italy, as I recall. To find my place again. I thought, no, not a chance, but it was the exact size, shape, and weight of a basketball. What a thrill all Christmas afternoon I had, the joy of locating geographical spots that my mom would call out. Singapore, Latvia, Montreal, New Zealand, the Amazon, Moscow, Delhi. I kept thinking I'd wake up the next morning and Rand McNally and the logo would read Voight or Rawlings, but it never happened. Did you ever try and dribble a globe? Beneath many Christmas trees are brightly wrapped surprises, some of which may seem momentarily disappointing to a little boy or girl. There will be a book instead of a game, a globe instead of a ball. But time will put it all in perspective. And many a mother's vision for her child will one day replace his fantasy. I know it happened to me. Could mom have known? I do wonder. Little did I realize that my mother's vision and prayers would one day eclipse a boy's Christmas fantasy and become his personal reality. Almighty God has instituted four designs: the family, the bedrock of society. Satan attacks the family because he recognizes how important it is. All the more reason for us to pray and support motherhood. Let's pray together. Today is the day we've set aside to honor mothers, and in our wisdom, you have ordained that we should live together in families Today we express our agreement with your order. It is right that mothers should love and listen and counsel and guide, and it is proper that we all should thank them and honor them and respect and care for them. Father, I thank you for my mother and for your love and grace that has always made her who she was. And I would lead every child, young or old, in this prayer of thanksgiving. For truly a good mother is made in heaven, fashioned, strengthened, directed by you. But with this prayer of thanksgiving, we would also plead your continued watch care over these, your servants. Assist them as they do your work. And may they, everyone, unmistakably feel your hand upon them as they labor at their all-important task. Receive these prayers for these, your people, and speak to each heart in this time that remains. We pray through Jesus. Amen.